And welcome back in Game Day, SportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you live from the Game Day, SportsRadio.com studios. Have Mike Bernard from OTM Sports with us as always. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Glad to hear you're not under the weather. You sound a lot better than you did last week.
I feel a ton better. Appreciate you covering for me last week on there. I just could not go. Hey, over here in South Atlanta, we've still got snow on the ground over here. I know in sunny Las Vegas, y'all not dealing with that stuff right now.
No, I was actually, I'm back over here on the East Coast now, but when I was out there, the weather was fine, and then you come back here, and of course, there's a dusting of snow, and they let school out for 3 days.
Yeah, you know, we over here in the Atlanta metro area, think schools have been in for 1 day this week, and that was Tuesday. Of course, Monday was the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and then everyone went back on Tuesday, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, everyone's out. Hey, let's get right into the championship games. I want to remind everyone that this AFC championship game preview is sponsored by State Farm Insurance. For quotes on auto, homeowners, life, and renter's insurance, Alabama residents can call Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Great rates and personalized service. Larry has 40 plus years in the industry. Call him at 205-663-3119. Okay, Mike, Sunday afternoon, 3:05 p.m. It's the AFC Championship games. The surprising Jacksonville Jaguars at the always steady New England Patriots. And this is going to be a game, I think, that no one envisioned this game back at the start of the year. At least I can tell you that I didn't. And even last weekend, I thought that the Steelers would take care of the Jags playing at home, a cold weather game, Jacksonville, of course, being a warm weather team. But the Jags beat Pittsburgh 45-42. And listen, it wasn't that close. Of course, nope. Tom Brady and the Pats, they beat Tennessee 35-14 in the divisional round. And this is the seventh straight year that the Pats are playing in the AFC title game.
Listen, Coach, New England loses players to injury, free agency, retirement. They find a way to contend every year. Their roster changes every season. But no matter who comes and goes, they win the AFC East and compete for a Super Bowl. They've dominated the AFC East. They've won it 8 straight years and 13 of the last 14 seasons. For this championship game, the Vegas line open, New England favored by anywhere from 9 to 10 points over the Jags. But since reports of Brady injuring his throwing hand in practice on Wednesday, the line dropped to 7.5 on Friday morning. We'll see where the line moves from there. Their opponent, Jacksonville, they went into Pittsburgh, as you said, beat them for a second time. They were in control of that game from wire to wire.
Hey, back in October, the Jags went into Pittsburgh, and they beat the Steelers 30-9. A lot of people thought the Steelers would avenge that loss, but listen, the Jags, they manhandle the Steelers up front, both offensively and defensively, and now we've got strength on strength in this game. Jacksonville, they're the number 2 in total defense, number 2 in scoring defense. New England, number 1 in both total offense and scoring offense.
That's right. And all the pregame talk is going to be about Brady, his hand, you know, his great record and his offense. I see this game is going to be decided in the trenches. And, of course, the severity of Brady's injury is going to play a big role as well. The Pats, Coach, they're 21-3, their last 24 home playoff games. The only losses were to the Ravens in 2013, the Jets in 2011, and then the Ravens in 2010. Those teams were strong defensively and built to run the ball, and they were able to win in Foxborough, and Jacksonville's built very similar.
They are, and you have to go back and look at those Ravens teams and that Jet team that won in New England, and they just relied heavily on their run game. And that's the way this Jags team is. And also now, the early forecast for Foxborough is temps in the mid-40s. That's balmy for late January in the Boston area. Some think that's going to be an advantage for the Jags. But this is a team that it doesn't matter where they're playing. They went into Pittsburgh, and the temps were in the teens. And listen, Jacksonville took care of business. I don't think the way, even though they're considered a warm weather team, I don't think it matters to them.
I don't either. And look, the better weather conditions might favor Brady, especially with his banged up right hand and that Pats offense. Jags, look, they're going to run it no matter the conditions. They'll probably be better off playing the game in the snow because historically downhill run teams have had great success in cold and snow weather in postseason games.
And you look at Jacksonville, you can expect New England to really crowd the box because Blake Bortles, nobody thinks that he can beat the Patriots with his arm. Matter of fact, there are not a lot of teams that people think he can beat in the NFL with his arm. I mean, he's been trashed by some in the media claiming he's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. But guess what? He did his job in a wild card game over Buffalo, solid in the win at Pittsburgh. But now he's going to face, you know, pretty good defense in this New England Patriot team.
That's right. And Bortles needs to play mistake-free. The Jags run game, they have to eat clock. That number two ranked defense for Jacksonville, they have to keep doing what they do, slow down Brady. The Jags won a shootout last week, but as you said, that game really wasn't that close. They want to limit New England's possessions in this game. They want to shorten the game. When I take a look at some numbers in it from a handicapping standpoint, the Patriots are 7-0 straight up, 6-1 against the number, their last seven home playoff games. The odds are stacked against Jacksonville. Point spread tells me the Pats are going to win a close game. But New England's last four home playoff games all went over the total. I think I'm going to play this game over the total, but of course I'll play it very light because I don't know the true condition of Brady's hand.
I understand that. Okay, Mike, let's move on to the NFC Championship game. The Vikings and the Eagles. I want to remind everyone that this preview of the NFC Championship game is sponsored by State Farm. For quotes on auto, homeowners, life, and renter's insurance, Alabama residents, call Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119 for great rates and personalized service. Larry has 40-plus years experience in the industry. Give him a call, 205-663-3119. 3-1-1-9. All right, Mike, let's go ahead and talk about the Vikings and the Eagles. This is going to be a 6:40 game on Fox. Eagles are getting to host the Vikings in the title game, so playing outdoors instead of the friendly confines there in the Dome in Minnesota. Philly beat Atlanta 15-10 in the divisional round. Minnesota beat the Saints on the final play of the game to advance. It was the first time in the NFL history that a game, or NFL playoff history, that a game ended with a winning TD with no time on the clock.
Wow, what a wild finish. The Minnesota defense, they kept Breeze in check for two quarters. The Vikings led 17-0 at the half, but Breeze did his thing in the second half. He brought the Saints back. They took the lead late in the fourth, and then absolute disaster for the Saints. The Saints safety just needed to tackle Diggs inbounds, and the game was over. The clock would have run out. He lunged at the receiver, and Diggs had clear sailing to the end zone. Coach, how does that happen at this level?
I think, you know, there's no easy answer for that. I think there were a lot of things that were going through the DB's mind. Allen, I believe his name was. Listen, first of all, he was worried about a pass interference call because a pass interference call stops the clock, gives them a first down at the spot of the foul, which would have been a very makeable field goal. I think he was also worrying about a targeting call if he went in and tried to break up the pass. I think there are a lot of things that he was having to process in a very quick manner. I just think that I don't want to say he panicked, but it was just not a very good play on his part. And had it not been the last play of the game, you know, we may not even be talking about that play if it had happened earlier in the game and it just led to a touchdown. But, you know, not only that, the way that he went in and he ducked his head and he rolled past the receiver, the other defensive back, he blocked his own man who had a chance to run after Diggs. And so, you know, everything that could have gone wrong for the Saints on that play, it went wrong. But now, again, that was a great offensive play. You got to give kudos to the Vikings after all the hard luck that they've had over the years, going all the way back to the Hail Mary with Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson in the old Metropolitan Stadium there in Minnesota. You know, the Vikings have been snake bit in the playoffs with plays like that going against them. It's about time, you know, that they got one to go in their favor. But the Vikings, they're not a fluke. They're the number one defense in the NFL. They held the Rams to 7 points, the Falcons to 9 points, and they allowed just under 16 points per game throughout the regular season. Now, the Eagles, they're the third best scoring defense, allowing 18 points per game. So, you know, I like this because it's shaping up to be a defensive battle, and you know that's what I like.
Yeah, this is right up your alley, Coach, and Vegas sees it that way too. The total for the game, anywhere from 38 to 39. They expect a low-scoring game. Two top-tier defenses, got backup quarterbacks for both teams. But I will say this, these two quarterbacks, they're not your typical NFL backups. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, he's got 40 career starts, 60-plus touchdowns, nearly 10,000 passing yards. Vikings' Case Keenum, he's appeared in over 40-plus NFL games, nearly 9,000 passing yards, and 46 touchdowns. So it's not like these guys are moved up from the practice squad.
Not at all. Now, hey, listen, let's talk about get a sidebar real quick. Talk about these quarterbacks. Hey, the Los Angeles Rams, not too long ago, had Jared Goff, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles on their roster. So they were loaded at quarterback in L.A. But, again, both these guys, you know, they are seasoned. Much of the season we heard fans and media asking when Teddy Bridgewater would get his starting job back. But Keenum took over from Sam Bradford, never gave the Vikings any reason to pull him. Just this year alone, Case Keenum has thrown for 3,500 yards and 22 TDs. Nick Foles, he started out his career in Philly back in 12. Of course, as I said, he went to the Rams, also spent time with the Chiefs, came back to Philly this season as a backup. He considered retirement, but he decided he'd go to camp with the Eagles. Of course, Carson Wentz was the starter. You know, no doubt about it, Nick Foles had a great job standing over there on the sideline and waiting for his turn. His turn came. He's the starter. And now he's trying to be the quarterback to get the Eagles to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 2004 season. And Donovan McNabb was the quarterback back then.
Yeah, that 04 team was really good. McNabb had a great season, and they might have even won the Super Bowl if they didn't have toxic players like T.O., but that's another story. You know, Coach, Philadelphia, they really have to be glad that Foles did not retire because he's an experienced quarterback. It gives them a good chance in this game. As for Case Keenum, Bradford and Bridgewater were the number one and number two quarterbacks. Bridgewater was still on the IR, so Keenum was in that number two spot until Bridgewater was healthy. The reality is, if Bradford does not get injured and Bridgewater comes off IR, Case Keenum's going to be cut. Zimmer's not going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, but now he's playing for a chance to start in the Super Bowl.
Case Keenum's got a lot of pressure on him no matter what. Vikings fan, they don't care that he came in as a third-string quarterback. They want to win, and they want their first Super Bowl win. The Vikings, they played in six Super Bowls. They've lost all six. Now, while the Eagles have won an NFL championship back in 1960, pre-Super Bowl era, they've been in the Super Bowl twice. They've lost twice, once to Oakland down in the Super Bowl, and then once to New England. I believe that game was in Jacksonville. Now, I think that this will be unique if Minnesota wins, because they will be the first team. Again, if they win, they'll be the first team to compete in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. The 49ers, back in their heyday, they did play in Stanford Stadium, and the Rams played in the Rose Bowl, but those were not their home stadiums. So this would be, you know, a first-time thing if the Vikings could get the win in Minnesota to go back home and have the Super Bowl on their home field.
Yeah, that's right. The Niners and Rams played in their home market, but not their home field. It would be a great storyline. And look, both cities are hungry for a chance to play in this Super Bowl and win it. When I take a look at the numbers, the Vikings favored by 3 or 3.5. The game is in Philly. Atlanta was also favored in Philly, but the Eagles ended up getting the win there. The over-under, very low for this game because you have the number one and the number three ranked defenses. All the trends also lean to the under. Under is 7-2-1 The Vikings last 10 in the postseason. The under's 9-1-1. Philly's last 11 home playoff games. Even at 14-3, Coach, the Vikings have basically flown under the radar all year. I'm still not sure if I'm going to play them minus the points, but I'm leaning for Minnesota to get the road win in this game.
All right, Mike, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. These two, the winner of these two games going to play in the Super Bowl. And if New England wins, obviously they've got more than enough Super Bowl wins. But yeah. If one of the other, if of course we're going to have a representative from the NFC, no matter what, who's never won a Super Bowl, and if the Jazz can get by the Patriots, then we're going to have a first-time Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, that's right. And look, you know, not to take anything away from the dynasty that New England has, but they played in 9 Super Bowls and their record's 5-4. So it's not a foregone conclusion that they're just going to walk all over whoever the NFC representative is. Remember back in, was it 07 or 08 when they were 18-0, they were an 8 or 9 point favorite over the Giants and they lost the game. So I think we still could be looking at a very competitive Super Bowl this year.
I'm in total agreement with you there, Mike. Listen, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll take our first look at the Super Bowl, which will be 2 weeks from this coming Sunday. But again, thank you for the time. Look forward to visiting with you next week.
Hey, my pleasure, Coach. Glad to do it. Look forward to breaking down the Super Bowl.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. GameDaySportsRadio.com.